This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. The Bay Area is constantly evolving. From the gold rush to Silicon Valley, from boom to bust and back again, can feel a little like deja vu. Back in 2000, just before the dot-com bubble burst, unemployment in San Francisco was at an all-time low of 3%. It's nearing that again, approaching what economists call full employment, meaning, statistically anyway, there are jobs for everyone who wants one. But what story do these numbers really tell? Where is the job growth, and who's benefiting? A recent study shows that the gap between rich and poor is growing faster in San Francisco than in any other city in the country. Tracy Groves works with the Bay Area Council Economic Institute. I asked her if San Francisco is leading California's economic surge, and if that resurgence goes beyond tech.
Yes, and yes. So what's driving it right now in San Francisco, we've got construction, we have professional services, computer systems design. So tech, obviously, is a big piece of this, but it's not the whole story. And what we've seen over the last year is leisure and hospitality also growing quite robustly.
So, I mean, it seems like the jobs that you mentioned, if they're driven by these large tech firms primarily, then a lot of the other things, leisure, hospitality, for example, that these other industries are the ones that are benefiting to some extent because of the growth in tech.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it goes even beyond that. If you imagine a tech company expanding here or a new one opening up here with 40 to 100 people, well, those 40 to 100 people are not all engineers. You've got accountants, you've got HR people, you've got office managers, you have executive assistants. You've got a whole range of job opportunities.
Does that mean you need to have big companies in order to drive unemployment levels down because they will end up having quite a variety of jobs that support them?
You know, I think it depends on the location. We have a very vibrant ecosystem here for entrepreneurial growth, and it thrives in this dense connection of talented individuals and research facilities and such. So Twitter expanding on mid-market, I think that was very effective in creating a magnet to that part of town. San Francisco already had so much going for itself. You know, that really worked. I think, you know,
they were the anchor tenant.
Exactly, yeah. But that model wouldn't necessarily work just in any place. I mean, San Francisco is hot right now, and that is really driven by this demographic shift we're seeing. You know, young technical talent, they want to be in urban centers. They don't want to be out in the suburbs. In fact, these folks don't even want to drive. So that is, you know, a major driver for these companies who are targeting this young technical talent to move here. You know, I've been spending a lot of time out in the Tri-Valley lately at the labs and talking to businesses out
there. What's the Tri-Valley? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Livermore, Pleasanton, Dublin, San Ramon.
There's the East Bay where there's a lot of headquarters of places. I know, for example, like Chevron is San Ramon, aren't they?
Exactly, yes. But in Livermore, you also have two national labs. But they have opened up what they do, and they're working more and more with businesses, and not just businesses in Livermore, but, you know, big technology companies throughout the Bay Area. So they're dependent on young technical talent as well. And so I was surprised to hear that so many of their young engineers and scientists are commuting to Livermore from San Francisco. So then when you start hearing about ideas about expanding BART to Livermore, well, you say, well, of course, it's all part of one regional labor market.
So is this something that can often drive government policy then when the economy is booming at times, when the unemployment rates are low and we have different housing and transportation issues? Can that drive government behavior?
Yeah, when our demands come to a peak like this and movement becomes so difficult, for sure, these issues become top of mind for decision makers. The problem is that these projects take a lot of time to develop and, you know, get through all of the CEQA and all of the other regulatory requirements and everything. It's like we're always playing catch up.
That's Tracy Groves. She's vice president of the Bay Area Council Economic Institute. So if we're always playing catch-up and governments are behind in making sure the jobs are available and the infrastructure is in place, then what do you think is missing? What do you think could help?
What we haven't seen yet is really hearing the viewpoint of the employers and the business community on where they see the opportunities for job growth and where they see the specific requirements for achieving those job gains. So, I mean, we're seeing growth in high-end earners, job opportunities, and growth in the low end. It would be very wise for us to be very proactive in that middle area. So how can we encourage career ladders? How can we work together to not just be filling low in jobs, but thinking about development and how people can share in the growing regional prosperity?
So as long as you're here and talking about that, how do you solve that middle issue? Because I think that the biggest concern that people have really is that the top is growing, but the bottom is spreading. San Francisco and the Bay Area, certainly San Francisco, have the widest spread of that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And so the middle is disappearing, and this is a huge overriding concern.
Very concerning for our future success and prosperity.
Well, so what would
We've
you
got
advise?
To address that.
What
well, the first thing I would advise is let's talk to employers, the hiring managers, people who are making those decisions day to day about whether they're hiring or not hiring and what kinds of positions they want to fill. Let's get those people in the room with the talented people we have at our workforce investment boards in the region and at the community colleges and the talented people we have at our high schools. Let's get everyone around the table to talk about that.
Give an example of that happening?
Oh, yeah. The Bay Area has a number of great projects underway. Let's see, Skyline College, I know, has a project going on where they are working together with tech companies in their food services and connecting tech companies with a variety of people from high schools and other places to get them trained in these areas and in worthwhile jobs.
So this is basically public-private partnerships.
For sure.
Including educational institutions, which is where young people who are trainable and could be specifically target trained for the jobs that are emerging can
absolutely
can work together.
Yeah, so we have a lot of talented people working with workforce investment boards and community colleges, high schools, and even universities, but they're focused on certain things. They're not focused on the same things that our local employers are focusing on, such as their changing markets and changing technology and how their demand for workers is shifting. So that's why we need to bring these people together. And I love this work with these engagement processes. When you bring talented people from different parts of the economy and the community together, because then you see all these ahas burst out in the room where people realize, hey, we could work together and really make a difference, because we know employers are having trouble finding the people with the right skills. We know there's a strong demand for skilled trades people. We've got a major issue with replacement jobs. There's a whole wave of baby boomers on the verge of retirement, and we don't have enough electricians and plumbers and other folks in the pipeline to fill a lot of these jobs with utilities and such.
So it seems like essentially kind of a big jigsaw puzzle in a way. I mean,
right.
The pieces don't necessarily match the openings, but if people are trained appropriately and these partnerships and the communication is there, then people can all find spots within what you're calling the ecosystem.
Right, yeah. And it's not just about getting that training and moving on with one's life. The reality is that the economy is changing at a quickening pace. And so we all have to be prepared for continually upskilling and retraining.
Do you see this happening then in a way that is going to be benefiting all levels of society, all different income groups and such, that the proper training is happening, the access to this education and to the knowledge of what jobs are emerging?
Yeah, no, I think we still have a lot of dots to connect. And I think that there's a lot we can still do to create a more resilient community.